Okay, what time do you have to be out of here?
Starts at 8, and it's streaming, so we've got a little bit of time.
Let's try to get today.
So Dawson Boyd is playing RTR for the Section 3 champs. Oh. And so, and obviously can't make it to Marshall, but it can sure at least stream it.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
It's like, how fast were you going to go?
I can get you there in time.
Oh. Are we recording, or is it?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Fair enough. All righty. 6:33. Let's call this Planning Commission meeting to order. We'll start with a review of the minutes from the March 1st meeting. After we feel like we've sufficiently reviewed them, I will accept a motion to approve.
Where are they?
Should be attached. Backside. Starting the second page.
Yeah, mine.
I'm missing.
From the March 1st meeting?
Mine on the second page, back and
forth. Yeah, see, there's my second page.
Oh. You are missing.
And third, fourth, fifth, sixth. I think I didn't get anything.
Huh?
Nope.
You don't have the minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the
second
minutes.
We've got public meetings open and closed. All right, good deal. All right, there is a motion in the second to approve the minutes for March 1st. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Excellent. All right. We are on to miscellany.
I love it.
Was taken off.
What's that?
The welding school thing. Wasn't that going to be it tonight?
Yeah, they didn't have the plans yet.
So basically, I moved it.
Yeah. You and me both, sister.
There is
Okay.
There are.
I left 4 minutes ago. So.
I think Justice has some updates about changes from general business to general business two, a new zone, industrial three or I-3, a bee and fowl ordinance, and introducing the bee and fowl ordinance. So we're on to miscellany.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Yes, where are we at? All right. So, where would you guys like to start? I think it's pretty straightforward. So I think just with the zoning amendment changes, like we talked about, everything kind of, I was just kind of looking at other places in the county. Not bad. Everything we talked about, it's just kind of, this area, everything south of Wilmer Avenue, stopping right here, and everything down here eventually will be rezoned into industrial. So there's already industrial properties down here, and we've gotten several inquiries from the owners of property down there about how they want to do warehousing, but they can't. It's like really hindering them in other places. Yada yada yada.
I'm sorry. Which is the main street over there? 71? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is that what it's currently now?
Yeah, so only thing down there that's industrial currently is West Central Sanitation. They rezoned when they went down there.
Yeah. Okay.
And then also South 71 Vets down there, but that's general business, and that's going to, a veterinary place can be in the industrial, so it's all good.
Can be.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be fun. But yeah, so what we talked about was looking at Wilmer Avenue, rezoning, and gotta talk to Matt and get this updated. Just gotta send him the official zoning map of what we have on our end. But what we wanted was to make this area more conducive to the heavy intense retail, similar to the Targets, the Walmarts, Home Depot. Not really an emphasis on pedestrian walkability scale, since everything down there is as big as it already is. And then also, I think we kind of probably need to make some decisions on restaurants, because that's one of the questions that we get a lot of, is about why is there such scrutiny on restaurants? They want to build restaurants. They don't feel restaurants should have to go through plan review, yada, yada, yada. It was one of the big, it was one of the sticking points for them, like over the shopping center district, because in the shopping center district, it was just allowed by right. But even still, I mean, that's still a level of review. Like, I mean, you could run into something internally and then it not be approved, even if you don't go through public review. So, yeah, I think that's really it. I know Guillermo had some reservations just kind of about the scale, kind of making going up from a minimum of 15,000 square feet to 30,000 square feet. And so essentially that's just like 3/4 of an acre. But once again, in this area, not really a big deal. Everything there is already big. So,
so can you explain that to me? What is the proposed change?
Yeah, so the proposed change would be
south of Wilmer Avenue.
Everything south of Wilmer Avenue would be more, so essentially everything's just kind of already there at the scale of a car. And so what that means is, like, it's not really walkable. Like, you can't really go from, like, the Spectrum office down there to, like, the Kensington Bank to the Quick Trip and all that in a comfortable walking setting. Like, you need a car to kind of get around down there. And so not really putting an emphasis or a cap on, like, the parking or, like, any of that. I mean, like, they have these large footprint retail businesses, just because, I mean, the Hobby Lobby, Runnings, all of that, I think that's where we want for all of those to locate. And like I said, I mean, they don't really want to locate anywhere else. And so I think really just kind of moving that forward, and I think also including this within it. And so then the difference, to really explain it, would be north of this. This would be a lot tighter. Like, this would have, like, a cap on, like, what the lot size could be. There'd be a cap on the parking. Hopefully kind of getting in a place where we would eliminate this, because this is all R4, because some of these are parking lots. And then same thing going up here. Some of those are parking lots up there. But really kind of enforcing more of a pedestrian scale. That way it's much more comfortable for people who are walking from their neighborhoods, going to Lulu Beans, or like going to the dentist office, or like taking care of business or anything along First Street north of Wilmer Avenue. That kind of eventually runs into the downtown. But everything south of Wilmer Avenue, I just, overly ambitious, and I think it doesn't really make sense to try to enforce what doesn't exist there as far as like a pedestrian scale and walkability. That's just not.
So that would be rezoned to.
So this would still be general business, but it would just be like the retail focused general business where it's like big footprint retail.
The uses are the same of the general business, but we create a new zoning called the general business 2.
Okay.
That is the general business plus some other,
so larger, small scale.
Your big box store is not your mom and pops.
Yep. There is a table there that shows in, no, mm-hmm. before. Yeah. There's the table of uses.
Yeah. Oh, the zoning proposal map?
Yeah. No, no. Before that.
Are you here.
Oh no, it's after. Sorry.
It's okay. Yeah, you just keep flipping.
in red, we have the new zoning, general business 2, and then in this table. In black is the use that is 2 in the general business. In brown are new uses, new proposed uses.
For general 2.
For general 2.
Okay.
Yep. And so, like I said, it's just much more, it's really more like a change of scale and kind of solidifying that the scale of the businesses will always locate down there, and controlling that the walkability and the neighborhood feel is something that we're more so going to be going for north of Wilmer Avenue, and then kind of choking it down. And then once we get kind of up here, like where the road bends, and we start getting closer to the central business district, we'll start choking it down even more To kind of enforce like a neighborhood feel of walkability, since that is like abuts the downtown and then is actually where people live at. So, and it's also like the older part of town where things are just smaller anyway. But these are just some of the uses, and then I guess just kind of wanted to review it with y'all to see if there are any things that you guys disagreed with. So you guys just want to take it home and review it. We don't have to go through it all tonight, because I know that last time we went line by line.
When you say general business two, then is there a minimum size you have to be if you're going to be in this larger business?
Yep, 30,000. Yeah.
30,000.
Yeah, so like I said, about 3/4 of an acre.
So is there currently anybody below that in that north of Wilmer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can. Oh, north of Wilmer or south of Wilmer Avenue?
Sorry, south.
Yeah. We can. Not on this, but we could run that and then find that out. That's pretty easy.
Okay. I mean, that would be like the big question is if they are below that, they'd probably be grandfathered in. But what happens when they would turn around and sell or mm-hmm. want to change?
Yep. We can figure that out. So. Run query.
And I'm just going down. I can't think of anything that's under 3/4.
That Fenstra one between Cub and.
Well, and then that would be Jim Ruff's too, is probably less than. Because they have a couple of, steel buildings that run 3 or 4 businesses in them.
There's an insurance company in that side, right?
That's the Fenstra.
That's the Fenstra one. Okay. Yep, right next to an accountant guy.
That's the one you're thinking of.
Yeah, and the accountant's, I think, is Jim Ruff.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because, that's still pretty standard strip mall development, and they just kind of got a building, a little office.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think, like, with this one is just more... And also, we would be getting rid of, and so what we would be trimming is like the industrial uses within it, and kind of keeping those out of this district. And so this one would be trimmed to make sure that like the, because one of the things is that like all of those uses that we see along like Highway 12 East, like if Gurley Foods decided to locate next to Cub, currently they could.
Gotcha,
something that we probably want to keep in, like, more of, like, the industrial place kind of along the highway corridor with the railroad tracks. And so that's why we're kind of shifting away from that. And so when we do change the general business north of town, kind of on that Highway 71 corridor up here, it'll be more of that, like, industrial feel. But it also, this one will probably be the most complex district just because of all the existing businesses that are up there anyway. With like the lean towards industrial, but also still just kind of general business. And so that one would be a little more complex. But this one, all of these general business districts kind of along here, these would more match. We'll pull out kind of the industrial uses and kind of focus on those like along that corridor, since that's kind of what it already is. And like that's just kind of what's locating there. So that's the intention with that.
Okay.
Alrighty. So then I guess, so just kind of look through it, kind of see what you guys think. And we'll come back on the back end and we'll get through it on the next meeting. Alright, it's like probably like another free meeting. So then with the B and foul ordinance. So with this one, we can kind of go through the B one and we can see like what would be needed. I think one of the things that we really need to focus on is the commercial aspect of it and like how we want to control that. So limiting signs, sales, and then like, I don't know we're gonna have size, but I don't think we're gonna see like the rise of like a B owner renaissance in Wilmer because of this ordinance. I think we might get honestly like a total of a dozen in town, maybe.
Was there besides, sorry, Justice? Was there another place besides Minneapolis that you pulled?
Yeah.
Is that in here?
No.
Okay.
No. Did you just want to see other ones?
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of get a different idea. I mean, it's easy enough to probably Google.
Yeah, certainly. So, yeah, it's pretty easy.
I mean, I can do it on my own time, too.
No, I mean, got it. We'll go... Yeah.
Was there a particular reason why you chose Minneapolis?
So this is the one that we talked about that did it by lot size.
Yeah.
So, like, we had, like, a certain lot size.
Chickens.
Yeah. According to this. Oh, but that's the B one, not the. So this one we're talking about the B one, but we're not talking about the chicken one. I think the chicken one we're gonna we're taking that down, like way down. No person should be able to own 30 chickens in a residential area, man. That is insane.
If they had a bee ordinance that you,
We'll go with bee ordinance.
I see,
City of Minneapolis.
There's a least of.
I'm guessing.
Oh, we had one.
Arlington is going through it right now, too.
We had one for Stillwater. Yeah, I think Stillwater has a bee ordinance.
Alexandria.
You keep an application.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, application with steam staff and request on neighbor. Yeah, so yeah, as I said, there's probably like some key points that we kind of want to talk about. Do we want neighbors to be notified? Do we want neighbors to have a say to be able to reject people having bees?
Right.
And then also just kind of like lot sizes and things like that. And so I think also signs, and then if you're going to be doing sales of honey.
Now, you had mentioned last meeting too that this would be, I mean, this is just almost information for us to kind of have an idea of what's going on, right? Because you guys would create the ordinance. It would have to go to City Council for approval.
Yep.
It wouldn't necessarily go through us.
No, it does go through us.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. So tonight is like we're gonna really kind of put together the framework of.
Gotcha.
Okay, well, like we think it should, like we would like the neighbors to either have a say, or we just want neighbors to be notified, or we do think they should be able to have a sign, or we don't think they should be able to have a sign.
So we need to help develop the ordinance.
Yeah. Just kind of. Yeah, kind of like how we did like the columbarium ordinance of we were like, we don't like this, we like this.
Yep.
And so essentially like from this meeting, we'll put that together, and then the next meeting we'll have like the crafted bee ordinance where we'll go, and then it'll be, we'll have the public hearing for, we'll have like the first reading, and then we'll introduce the public hearing, and then we'll have the reading here, and we'll move it to City Council for their approval.
So at some point we'll have a meeting that's not, I mean, it's still open to public, but we're not going to have like people sitting around waiting for their appointments on presenting, right?
Yep. It'll just be at the end.
But it's open.
Yeah.
All right.
So I guess like, so I guess we can start there. So do you guys think neighbors should be notified, or you guys think neighbors should be able to deny it?
Both. If they have a diagnosed allergy, they should be able to dispute it in some form. Because it is a lethal, some people, it is lethal.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if your neighbor has a diagnosed allergy from a medical profession, you should be able to dispute it in some form. It also shouldn't be allowed near schools or city parks, because those are community spaces, and I don't want to bring my child who may have an allergy to these in an area where they're more prone to get bit.
Yep. Where are we at?
So I would go with neither. The complete opposite.
Uh-oh.
Now that the caveat being some form of recognition of a person with an allergy, right?
Mm-hmm.
My concern would be if we say inform. Okay, so maybe I'll lean in that case to informed versus have to approve. I think that if they are informed, if it's a need to approve, you're opening, I think we're probably opening up us for people who just don't like bees to show up and complain, right? So, you know, if the ordinance can be crafted in that, if you're informed and you can we can say you can't put it somebody with a next to somebody with a diagnosed bee allergy. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah.
We might be missing something, but rather than opening up the floodgates, tighten down the floodgates. Because I didn't even think I've never had an allergy like that. Didn't even think that. It's a total mom thought. I get it. Trust me. I get it.
And mine don't have any allergies.
I know, but it's still a total mom thought.
But then it's one of the few things. Well, it's one of the few things that is lethal.
Yeah.
You can get bit by a dog and you're not necessarily going to have a reaction. This, if you don't have the mom with who's got the EpiPen that can deal with it,
my counter to that would be, do I have to get my neighbor's approval to plant a peanut tree? Plant peanuts in the ground?
Well, my kids are over there stealing them, then it's, then it's my fault.
A walnut tree could hang over into the yard, it could get kicked over, there's a dozen.
So I guess,
I'm just saying,
We should, I like the idea of probably notifying, like, within a radius, we'll notify them by letter, so part of the application process will be, in this application if you submit an application to us, we'll notify the people in this, and mm-hmm. then... they can notify us, and then here are legitimate reasons that if they present this, mm-hmm. then, mm-hmm. You just can't have it. whether that's, a diagnosed bee allergy, or if they present, this dude does not take care of anything, here are his pets, yada, 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 doesn't take care of his pets, here's the state of his ER, this is going to be another problem, something like that. But I think, kind of how we have, the conditional use permits, where we have the 7 stated things, if these things are issues, the answer is no. And so we'll have that where we'll notify them, and then we can have, these stated things. And so if people show up, I just don't like bees, and it's that's not a real reason. So that way we don't just have people just showing up and I don't like Steve, and it's just all right.
Yeah, you get a neighbor that just doesn't like each other.
They're going to
show up.
So we'll go notice and then list the things that would be grounds for denial. Grounds for denial. All right. So then another thing that I like the Minneapolis's ordinance is that they do require a fence. So they require almost a taller decorative fence. It's not a real fence. Doesn't really go around any perimeters or anything.
You know it's a bee, right?
Yeah, it flies.
I think to cover the hive?
No, yeah. I think it's more so that somebody doesn't get in to disturb the hive.
Yeah.
Okay, that's how makes I read sense,
it.
But
it specifically says a fence with a latch.
Yep.
Right. It also said that if the hives are kept on a roof that's inaccessible to the public, then you don't need the fence.
Yeah. So where are you guys at with roof hives? Yes. No.
I find it very interesting that anybody's. If they don't know why they would want to even go in to bother a beehive, right? because you're kind of opening up a can of worms there.
Or a hive.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, but if you have small kids,
that's probably,
then the fence makes sense.
And when they talked about the latch, my envision was like a swimming pool latch where you need to be so tall to do it.
Yeah.
So there's roof hives, but then there's also the setbacks. Setbacks. So what setbacks are we thinking for property lines? 20 feet, 30 feet? Because, there are just some places in town where they won't be able to have them just because the lots are so small.
Well, I think for an open fire, you have to be 15 feet from any structure, I think.
Yep.
Right?
It's 15 or 20.
So, where's the logic behind 15 feet? And, is 15 feet just the general setback that, we start with?
Yeah, I'm just curious on the setback because if you set a beehive, and I understand to some degree how they work, is that they go out during the day, they collect their nectar, and they come back.
Yep.
Right? So the purpose of setting the beehive back is purely for what reason?
It's probably just to put it somewhere.
Well, and keep it off the property line.
Yeah, keep it off.
You got to keep it further away from the neighbor's house than, or it's got to be closer to your house than the neighbor's house.
Yeah, I think that.
Or it should be.
Yeah, that's probably something that, when they were talking about it, people were just concerned about it, and so that's what they wanted. So that's how.
But the flip side to that, like Steve's saying, is that if it, even if it's on the property line, you have to have a fence around it. So it can't be up against somebody. It has to have the fence has to be in between.
Well, that was under 25 feet from the next property line that they needed the fence in this one, I think.
Well, I can see if you had a fence and you had your beehive right next to the fence and you're out mowing the lawn and you bump the fence and then, you know, do you bother the beehive? I don't know.
And it might just, that 25 feet or whatever it is, might just be a buffer between you and the neighbor.
And that's what I'm trying to figure out is where that number, why that number, right? So right. Are there, the bee experts say, hey, here's a relatively safe distance?
I don't think so, because I mean,
just threw this number out?
Yeah, it's probably arbitrary. I mean, bees travel up to like a mile, 2 miles.
Because, to be honest, knowing Minneapolis and St. Paul, the average width of a lot is 40 feet. Right? Mm-hmm. So if you're saying 25 feet from your property line, you can't do it in a normal size lot in Minneapolis.
So that's a way to, so
and maybe that was a way to,
restrict it without saying no.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So you're saying, hey, there's only certain, you know, you have to have a double lot to be able to be on.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm just trying to figure out where the number came from. So but yeah, I do think there should be some kind of setback away from the property line.
All right. So I think as of right now, we'll just start at 15. Start at 15.
Seems relatively arbitrary. So, yeah.
But at least in the city of Wilmer, that would keep it within the bounds of your own property.
Yeah.
If you're driving by, your property lines can go to the 10-foot mark. Your hives now are they're yeah, within so your own yard.
If you were 15 off your property line, then their house is at least 10. So you're at least you have that 25-foot space.
All right, so then on just kind of the colony sizes that people can have as far as like the 2B boxes for under a half acre, you guys are all right with that metric? I just kind of using lot size. So ours are a little different because, I mean, we have small lots.
Yeah, I don't see a problem with that.
All right, cool. So we'll keep that one as is. Roof hives and different...
There's not a ton of flat roofs in this town, so that'd be pretty limited.
Yeah.
I don't
think all right, cool. So then I think, so what about...
Then the hazard of the person that's going to manage it. But. All right.
So then what do we want to do for signs as far as people advertising that they have honey for sale? So just generally in the residential area, people are limited, can't have commercial signs. Essentially, if we just want to limit people to a garage sale kind of sign, I think that'd probably be best. And then I think that's the only way we'd be able to enforce it is if we got complaints about that, hey, they're getting like a lot of commercial traffic. I think they're moving honey or like processing honey or something. But.
Well, can you ask for non-permanent? Because I assume with most production there's a high time and a low time.
Yeah.
So if you have honey, you're going to throw your sign out. When you don't have honey, you're going to pull your sign in. So if you ask for a non-permanent.
Yeah. Cool. So a non-permanent sign.
I think
and then there's got to be
in a residential area, non-permanent is appropriate.
And a garage sale sign. I mean,
yeah.
Honestly, they're probably mostly connected. It's through word of mouth. Hey, yeah. You know, you have honey and they're not going to. I don't know, a smaller, if they're going to be advertising. They might go on the Wilmer.
They're going to end up at your farmer's markets and things like that, most likely.
I don't think so. But yeah, smaller sign and limited.
All right.
And is there a setback for garage sale signs?
Yeah. We already have regulations for garage sale signs. So.
Oh, I don't know what they are, so I can tear the ones
right, yeah, right.
out of my yard.
I don't know how many people follow that. But.
Put them on my...
Yeah, no, I mean,
you're just on the corner there.
Yeah,
so.
The guys, they ride around town, man, and some days, I mean, they're the whole back of their truck's full, man, it just signs that they've just ripped out from people. And
just for the record, Justin, I mean, as we move up in size, I don't see an issue with how Minneapolis laid this out, you know, because you go larger than 3/4, but smaller than 1, you can have up to 6, 1 acre, but smaller than 5, you can have 8. And then larger than 5 acres, it says get a variance.
Yeah, because I mean, I guess like for that, I mean, we just don't have that many lots that big in town.
Right.
So.
What's considered a colony too? Is there a certain box size?
Yeah, so I'd say like the pretty standard, like 3 boxes. Yeah, cause like I said, someone in our department has bees. Bam. So it's like one little tower of 3. And so we can define that.
Is a colony?
Yeah, that's how we define it. And then so like you keep they keep the queen in the bottom, and then the rest of the hive hangs out up here. So we'll define it as a tower of 3, because those are pretty standard. And then we'll call that'll be defined as a colony.
Okay.
So. All right. So.
Knowing nothing about, this will be the same for the chicken ornaments for me, but knowing nothing about bees and how they work.
Yep.
Are there any sanitary concerns? Like bee poop?
No, that's the honey.
No, yeah, no, I think our biggest concern would be someone being allergic. And then I think that's a legitimate concern, and I think also kind of putting in the parameters. I'm probably putting a buffer. Oh, that's a good question. What should the buffer be around parks for people? Like if you live backyard against the park, great for most cases, but if you own bees and you're next to a common space, that could be problematic. So we probably should establish a buffer.
So what's the average lot size in Walmart? Or, I mean, because in my mind, I'm thinking you need to be at least 2 lots away. So the 3rd lot from a park, okay.
So 100 feet?
Yeah, like, I think we have, like, what, like, 70?
I'm not saying that's right. That's just.
I feel like thinking about all the things that Jeff has said, I think it's 75 feet. Like, it's 75 to 50 feet. I think it's 75 feet.
Right.
Yeah, we can go over and look.
Along with parks, is that parks, schools, and daycares?
Man, daycares.
I know. Cool. It's that mom brain I got going.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So this would be a good one. It's also this one just because there is. So how large are these? Should we measure
there's
these?
What?
Nursing home.
Oh, so you're gonna
die anyway. It's just like 50 feet.
As much, though. And less likely.
Yeah,
to
so 50 feet. So I guess like if we want to put 100-foot buffer around it. 100-foot buffer from the park.
I mean, I just made up 100. I just made up the 2 lots. Mm-hmm. Just, you know,
it seems like a reasonable distance.
Yeah.
If you wanted to say 150 feet, I.
Right, so we'll go 100-foot buffer around. Parks, schools, daycares. Yep, so then on the application, it'll be we'll need your address. We'll need what you're proposing, lot size, and we don't need a survey for it. We just need to know how big your lot is. We'll pull it up on the GIS.
Yeah.
So that's 100 feet from the school's park property line, right? Not from the school proper.
And to the daycare
and license.
Yeah.
Do you want to just say? Because not all the daycares are licensed.
Yeah.
Well, they should be.
They should be, but they're not.
I don't know how else you would find them, though, if they're not licensed.
Yeah, that's fair.
I would just take your facility.
Yeah, because I think, like, because I guess, like, also, I mean, they would, if they say they were neighbors or something, because, like, where I used to live in town, I lived across the street from a daycare, and then I would have got one, and then, so let's say I applied for one, she would have got the notice, and then she probably would have showed up, like, I have, like, a dozen kids here on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. No. So, maybe, like, a daycare, we can put that, we'll just put daycare, but then also we'll put if someone is like a child care provider, like that'll be one of the reasons, of like one of the stated reasons of like actually this is grounds for denial.
How do you define child care provider? I have two.
Yep.
If one of them is allergic, you can fight it.
Yeah. Maybe just like daycare or something. Just, or because like, I don't know.
Because the at-risk would catch you the other way. So if you were I have a, niece who is, I don't even know what she has, but her mom is her licensed provider.
Mm.
So she's not a daycare, but she does get, you know, paid to watch her. So I don't know where that falls. If it were a concern, she'd have the opportunity to show up, but she doesn't have an allergy.
Okay.
So then there is no concern. It's...
Yeah. We'll figure out the language, but yeah, I think we definitely want to show preference to daycares.
Licensed daycare facility.
Yeah. All right. Cool. I like those parameters and those buffers. Anything else just kind of concerning, like, the bee ordinance?
Well, are there any other at risk if it's a divine house or skilled care or things
like
that?
Yeah, so you want us to find any other at risk?
At risk, vulnerable.
Yep. So research at risk. All right. That's easy enough.
And then what about distribution? Other than just backyard sales, like, oh, so I think you brought up the fact that somebody says they harvest their honey, they give it to somebody else to sell, right? Mm-hmm. Do we care? And at what scale do we care? We, you know, obviously, I guess the lot size kind of takes care of that.
Yeah, I guess we can. I guess we can look into it and kind of see what you would need for, like, bee manufacturing. Because I guess I've thought about it, man. Like, I'm very close, man, to just building a shed and, like, running power to it with, like, 220 like
so
outlets in it for, like,
processing. One of our guys from our work before, Seth Calvin, mm-hmm. right, related to the Calvins, he had 6 units out of his place, and he's outside of the city a little bit. Yeah. And it's not enough to produce in a commercial setting by any means. In fact, he would ship his every year. He box them up and ships them to California. Hmm. So mostly the bees, the honey's are almost a side versus taking care of the bees. They ship them to areas through the winter into different parts of the country for pollinating. So.
Did you look into the cottage law, if that limits the amount of sale that they can have?
Yeah, so, but that's more of, like, a monetary side, not a, it's like a price threshold, mm-hmm. I guess, but that's not something that we could, and I guess, like, if someone, maybe we could put that on the application of, like, is, like, intent to sell, or, like, are you just doing this for, like, personal consumption hobby? And so that's
we're
something
we're worried about what kind of traffic,
yeah,
foot driving traffic it would generate then.
Yep.
And right, but your dollar amount keeps them under being able to commercially produce.
Yeah.
Well, and if
so if you just, they must follow the cottage laws.
If you only
laws.
Have 2 hives,
yeah.
You're not going to produce enough.
Yeah.
I think so.
I agree.
Or if they're selling eggs and honey at the same time and tapping a maple tree.
Uh-oh.
So
those people have not really ever done a maple tree. Making their own maple syrup, so it's like
a lot of breakfast potential. So we've been focused on the honey aspect, and we may not care, but there are other reasons to have bees. Honey's the byproduct, right?
Yeah.
Right? Cross-pollination.
Yeah.
You know, you can raise queens, right? You
yeah.
can actually do it as your. You would sell part of your colony.
Yeah.
Do we care from the ordinance standpoint? I don't think so.
No, because I think, like, what we care about is, like, the number of bees you have. Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you're raising killer bees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might be an issue. Okay, so then that does bring up a question.
Well,
do you care about, these are honeybees only.
Honeybees.
Yeah. So some ordinances do specify that you can only have certain type of bees. I mean, we can do that. Or just not allow other bees. But.
I don't want the ones that are like this. I don't care if they're 100 feet from a school or not.
They're so lower cute, Canadian really fighting big bees. Ones. Yeah.
those are the cicada wasps. Yeah, like just go after cicadas.
Yeah,
those are
bee species. All right, cool. So we'll look into the buffer, researching more at-risk populations that we can include in the ordinance, distribution, and then also with the focus on bee species as well. So all these things will be included.
To do with some kind of. I'm just thinking if it attracts nuisance animals and mitigation and prevention. What do you do if you have a nuisance animal?
The honey badger.
The honey badger
no.
or a bear. Yeah.
No, yeah, I don't think so with bees. I think that probably become more into play like with chickens.
With foxes and possums and
yeah.
So. Coyotes and such.
But yeah, so that's it on bees, so we can move on to the fowl ordinance. And then, like I said, we'll put the bones of this together, bring it back to you all, and then we'll get it ready to go for the next one. And then we'll reach out to the applicant, kind of show what we got, and then we'll go from there.
I was looking at F. Is that a renewal? Permit to...
Nice. Under
Falls?
Yeah, can I see...
You didn't make a copy for yourself?
Oh, man, we never need them. Okay, where are you at?
F, under follow.
Oh, this is the... all permits shall expire after 12 months from the date of issuance unless sooner revoked. Application fees for such permits shall be established in the license fee schedule payable upon application. So yeah.
Annual renewal.
Yep, annual renewal. Yeah.
So why would the fowl have an annual renewal but not the bees?
We can do an annual renewal for the bees too. So the thing here that I know we talked about, 30's not happening. That's just not happening. I think we agreed last time that we thought 10 or 12 should be the total cap for a number of birds that you could have. And then, so in this ordinance is that, like, you can't slaughter, there's no slaughter of any kind, like, you're just kind of, you're getting chickens, or you're getting eggs, so if you're going to slaughter it, take it inside and be messy, but that's wild, like, super, super wild, but yeah. Or
so what did you got here on G, you had,
you
had three tiers. Tier 3 was
16. Oh, yeah. So this is just raw Minneapolis's ordinance. But I'm saying, like we would change this. I think the limit should either be 10 or 12. I don't think we really should have a tiered system. I think it's like the limit is this.
1 to 12.
Within the city limits?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or because I think last time we said you could have six chickens, you could have like six ducks, and if you wanted six quails, you could have six quails. But the thing was that like you can't have 18. Like, the answer is 12. Right. Total is 12.
12 fowl.
Total.
Whatever your
total
iteration
of these designated types.
Yep. That's it.
No geese. No. Swans.
No.
Just the little ones.
Yeah. So, ducks, chicken, and quail.
But isn't a goose a fowl?
Not by our ordinance.
It's a non-allowed fowl.
Yeah, and so I guess like we'd establish a list of these are the only ones that are allowed. Types of chickens, types of ducks, types of quail. Everything outside of it, not allowed, period.
Oh yeah, because just your types of chickens. There's 50 different types of chickens.
Yeah, there's tons of them.
And pigeons. Pigeons.
Guineas suck.
Guineas. Yeah, and I just can't fathom. I mean, like you were saying, I mean, if someone had 30 chickens, I mean, chickens lay like an egg a day, man.
Uh-huh.
That is so many eggs. Just so many eggs.
$8 a dozen, that'll buy me a new car really quick.
So you can have a total of 12, but beyond 6, you have to have more than one coop then.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And so chickens...
Avoid overcrowding.
Yep, and chickens... Yeah. And so chickens, no coop wouldn't be allowed.
Okay. And seven chickens, one.
Chickens, you're saying?
No, that'd be an issue.
Well, you couldn't keep your setbacks.
Yeah.
Are there any regulations on the coop?
Yeah. So the
there we go.
Yeah, there we go. Yep. So the construction for the coop and the sanitary, the coop are in there, and that has to be inspected. And so the coop will need to be able to be closed.
Accessory dwelling.
Yep. But yeah,
this talks about. Shall be located not less than 20 feet from any habitable, I love saying that word, building on an adjacent property. Is that fine then?
Yeah.
You shall be visually screened from an adjacent residence.
Yeah, so then there's the visual screening. So I think kind of same questions. What buffers do you guys think we need? I don't from what I'm aware of. I don't think people are allergic to chickens. I think we can figure out a setback, and I think same thing, kind of figure out like the commercial side of it.
People aren't allergic to chickens, but neighbors have dogs.
I think that's something to consider for your own, for yourself. I think, like I said, I mean, that's the reason I don't want chickens. I mean, you can have chickens, and then let's say a fox gets them, then you can't clean that up in the morning. It's also probably pretty traumatizing if you just send your kids out to go get eggs, and it's like, ah, dead chickens. Or a headless chicken.
They'll be gone.
And yeah. No roosters.
Yeah. No roosters. No roosters.
Well, and then there is the caveat that any coop found to be a public nuisance provided notice to abate the issues and fails to lose their permit.
Yeah. And I think
that's always a catch-all.
Yep.
So then this says, roosters shall be prohibited without a special permit. Without a special permit goes away.
Yeah, no, just going to be prohibited. And so we can also do the same thing. Notice and then also grounds for denial.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the grounds for denial would be. I just be like, this dude's hoarding animals.
Yeah.
Like, oh, all right, well.
Yeah, but, you know, you just put that in there and then things get made up as you need.
Yeah.
That's why you have it there.
Yeah, so then on the other part, I mean, it is like an annual renewal. And so if anyone, we get multiple complaints about somebody, we can put that in like, hey, if we receive multiple complaints, next year we will revoke your license.
Yeah.
It's on 3 or more.
Stupid question, but if you have to, what happens if they don't follow the rules? Does the city then confiscate their chickens?
Yeah.
And what do they do with them?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no,
rotisserie.
I guess it would.
City barbecue.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You get a butcher room outside of the building, though.
Yeah.
Outside of town.
Yeah, I guess like we'd send Public Works there, but it just saved me having to buy them Lulus because they'd have dinner. So, you know, it'd be pretty simple.
It's like I'm obsessed. Fecal waste or litter shall be removed in such a reasonable time to prevent odors from emitting over property lines. So if it stinks up your yard, we're okay with that. But such as waste or litter must be double bagged and disposed in city garbage or composted, provided the method and use location does not present a public health nuisance. Okay. So is there anything we need to talk about or do about the fact that
I can ask the sanitation companies in town how they prefer it disposed of.
Yeah.
And so we'll go.
They might say, not at all.
Yeah.
Well, I know we get chicken waste hauled up from Iowa into Minnesota field farms for, you know, for food for the fields.
Like compost?
Yeah, for compost. Yeah, you ever drive by, you see the farms, and you see big mounds of, you know, after kind of the season's over. Yeah, that's usually chicken waste up there to be manure.
And I haven't seen it, but I would also say disposal of spent chickens, dead chickens. I mean, because somebody's going to get a dead chicken in their yard.
Yeah, definitely.
So can they just double bag that with the chicken shit and throw it in?
Alright, foul disposal, waste, and actual animal.
I don't know,
you have a question, Ivan?
Between a dead chicken and a chicken that we ate and threw out the stuff.
I was thinking that the dead chicken maybe because of they are sick, and there can be some kind of
disease carrying.
Yeah, no, that's going to be the big pushback.
Especially right now.
Yeah.
Right? We're not even supposed to feed the birds because I don't know.
Nope.
But it doesn't transfer at this point. It's mostly fowl that are being affected by it. But it doesn't transfer to humans yet. So that would be to go to that. If it were to be an issue, it could become a health department issue, and then there would be other things that would kick in. And
Proximity to commercial,
commercial
production sites.
Commercial person.
Yeah.
Started with a J.
It might.
Well, in all reality, if you work on a farm, you can't live anywhere that there are birds.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Like, you shower in, shower out.
Yeah, that's true.
I do not believe their staff can work anywhere there's birds. So is there a proximity to birds?
Oh, man. That could be an issue.
Where does your neighbor work?
Yeah, then we're getting a little personal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, like, so we'll look into that and see if that should be enough for grounds for denial. But then a lot of people be in trouble, man.
Yeah.
That also might be not just does your neighbor work, right? So also, do we need a setback away from commercial processing? Like, you can't live next, you can't have your 12 chickens next door to Genio, let's just say it.
Well, yeah. So there's one house that is right next door to Genio that just got annexed into the city. They would be on a very firm, this is a no chicken list. Sorry. I mean, Genio just might just be like, this isn't an option. We're just going to buy your house.
You wouldn't have a house built in the same zone as a commercial.
But yeah, so I guess like we'll look into if there's any hazards as far as like employees being that close. And then see if that should be grounds for denial or not. Just because I think like the pushback is just going to be that eggs are super expensive and Genio's not sending me an egg stipend.
Yeah, but so. egg price dropped. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's down, I think, below 4 and it was over 5. It's a 20% drop. Mm-hmm.
You are clearly not a guy who buys them by the case.
I buy 18.
Hold on.
I don't have all the kids at home anymore. I just have one.
I read that Alexandria had denied it outright, both fowl and honey, herb and bees, within city limits. Now, I mean, that goes back a ways. That's what
local curmudgeon.
Yeah. Well, it was a split vote, but they said nope, not in town.
That's so
not
crazy.
At all.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I can see that being the sentiment, especially with the fowl ordinance. I have more confidence in, I think, the bee ordinance. I think the fowl ordinance is going to run into a lot of opposition.
Yeah,
you don't want to run. The problem is you're running up against big turkey.
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, man, they don't. I'm telling you, like, the pushback is going to be, like, they do not send me chicken stipends. If they sent me a stipend, man, for, like, chicken or eggs every month, I think a lot of people would be much more inclined to be like, yeah, all right. But it's not the case. Yeah.
All right. Was there anything else?
No. This is really it. So
parking meters.
Oh, good call. Good call.
I didn't. Yeah, I saw that in the thing, but I didn't see that on the agenda.
Yeah. It's super easy because it's in blue. The changes are.
I got green and blue.
Yes, it's in green.
Yep.
Basically, this is the main change. The number 8?
Number 8,
yeah. Yeah, this is the main change.
Minimums?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the green are the ads?
Yeah.
Conditions of care. Number 3 section.
Bike parking?
Percent of permeability.
Yeah. This is all.
Huh?
These are Gatorade additions. Gatorade, those should be bike parking and trees.
So we're kind of leaving it open per application to see what's going into place, kind of determine what the needs would be.
What is the need?
It gives a lot more flexibility.
Well, yeah, because like right now,
instead of just saying Subway's got to have 30 spots.
Yeah, like so I have like a 22nd Street storage unit. It's 8 + 1 for every employee they have. They don't have employees.
Yeah.
And then why is his argument would be like, why do I need 8?
Yeah.
Like, it's pavement. People pull up right in front of the stall.
Yeah.
Unlock it. What are you making me do here?
Permeable pavement. Or is that just a classification of the mix?
No, so permeable pavement is different. And so it's to maintain. So it's usually more of a thing in bigger cities, like where they don't really have an option. And like, since they can't get in trees places, they don't want just like a mass of impermeable surfaces. Yeah.
It's basically a way to collect water runoff, yeah, minimize it going into the sewers. Is the question?
Yeah, sure.
Right. Is okay. There what's the difference on cost from permeable versus impermeable? Quite expensive.
I'd say it's quite expensive. It depends on what you're going to use, right?
Okay.
So it really depends on what. I mean, certain class 5 can kind of be considered permeable, right?
Okay.
We did the caribou, right? We put in a actual water collection underneath to minimize water runoff. So it sits in a cistern, and it's slowly filtered back into the septic or into the sewer line. And that's all permeable, and that was probably 30% more than just paving it over. Huh. And it's just basically an open block that just filters through a grid, and then it falls into a collection point.
Got
and
it
just to slow the water flow down.
Water mitigation.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I can see there being some pushback on that, just like from like a construction cost standpoint. But I mean, if we're reducing people's parking, it'll probably balance out. For whatever parking they do have.
Well, and I think there's ways to do it where you can have, you know, just like we do rain gardens, there's a lot of options, and the city, St. Paul, Minneapolis has been working on this for years, you know, where you do water runoffs into like little holding areas, right? Yep. Not like a big holding pond, but where you just have water runoffs goes into a rain garden,
yep,
right? And then you have a holding, you can have holding places that eventually filter down through it. I mean, there's a lot of options. They even had, I don't know if they still do it, but they used to have permeable concrete. Yeah. And it was actually concrete with air pockets in it. The problem that they were running into is that they would fill.
Yep.
Eventually, mm-hmm, they would just fill with junk.
Yep,
and
yep,
then,
yep,
then it wasn't permeable.
Well, I would think it would. Yep. Then it late in the season too, water gets in and freezes.
Well, it's really a location.
Yeah, and so that came up. Clemson,
Arizona doesn't work here.
Yeah. Our stormwater engineer at Clemson, he looked at all of them, and he just said eventually all of his colleagues are like, they fill after about 5 to 7 years,
right,
and then you got to replace it, and it's the same as concrete, and it doesn't,
yes,
work.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Basically that. So the other options are just like laying sand and laying brick down, right?
Sure.
And then it's just about water management.
Got it.
So.
Yeah. So just as far as on a case by case basis, as far as like parking, it wouldn't just be like, oh, I'm going to build this massive apartment building, I'm not going to build any parking spaces. It would be more so like, hey, like normally in other cities, instead of building at a 2-to-1 ratio, I build at a 1.6 to 1 ratio. And then instead of being like, no, you got to build a 2.2 ratio, they'd be like, all right, if that's what you think you need, they'd be like, yeah, like, here are my past projects, here it is after a year, like, this is the parking we built, here's how it works. And so essentially, it would just be on the developer to show and prove what they need, and then they would be able to come up with it instead of us being onerous and putting that cost and expense on them. So, that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Yep, so we'll button that up, and then we'll bring this all back. Then, like I said, once we finalize like the B and the file ordinance, I'll take that to the applicant. She'll probably make an application, and then I think expect that in April, and we'll get that process rolling. And I imagine once people find out about the chicken thing, I bet some people probably show up and start calling. So I feel B's would be the much more path of least resistance. That's what I told her. I was like, just so you know,
yeah,
chicken thing was tried.
Yeah.
Caused the ruckus. But yeah, so with that, I don't think there are any updates or anything. You're kind of in a lag. There'll be some big meetings in April, I think, where we got like a lot of stuff kind of coming. But nothing that you guys haven't seen or aren't familiar with.
Okay.
So should be good, pretty sure short. So as with that.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
I second it.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carry.